Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, welcome in the Tuesday, April 8th edition of the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil. Behind the glass, appreciate everybody who is listening on the radio on 1320 AM. Good morning. Hello. If you're in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, hello and good morning. If you're watching and you're not in the chatty house, salute and good morning to you as well. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, we thank you. If you have not downloaded the free Odyssey app, we highly encourage you to do so, because then you can take our program and D'Lo and KC and all the other great programming on ESPN 1320. You can take it with you wherever you go. And if you're listening on the podcast at the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, hello. Hope the future is going well. James, big night last night, or big night coming up, I should say. Roman Reigns returning to Sacramento. Thoughts?
I don't even know where to start.
Okay, well, you know what? You know what? Here's what we'll do. We'll save the best for last. We'll push that conversation down the road a little bit, and we'll start with the Sacramento Kings. How's that?
That sounds like a plan. I might need either D'Lo or Casey in here just to get the full effect of what this means to me and the city of Sacramento. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's something we have to collect our thoughts for sure. So the Kings got a win last night, 127-117. At the Detroit Pistons. Captain Buzzkill taking the day off. Because, look, dude, there are going to be bad teams in the league. Not every team is going to meet their expectations. There are going to be teams that fall short, whether it's because of injury, whether it's because of trade, whether it's because they fired a coach, whatever it is, there are going to be teams that fall short of expectation. There are going to be teams that are going to be bad. That's just the nature of sports across every league, across every season.
And the Kings did all of those things in one season. Go ahead.
They ran the gamut.
They did.
What you can't be is boring. And the Kings, at least the last three games, have not been boring. Mm-hmm. They've played really, really well. So forget what I think or what you think, or what anyone thinks about what the Kings are going to look like after this summer or next year. Is this sustainable or whatever this is? Forget that, dude. They got beat by the Wizards. And we're in a place where they could have spiraled, and the last 2 weeks of this season could have just been a drag. But instead, they put the screws to a bad Charlotte team. They played really well against the number one team in the East in the Cleveland Cavaliers and beat them. And then you go into Detroit on the second night of a back-to-back to complete a six-game road trip. That's a schedule loss. That's a game that you circle on the calendar and you go, man, Detroit's playing well. Last game of a road trip, second night of a back-to-back. You got Cleveland the night before. You played 40-plus minutes. Ah, whatever. And then you go out and you controlled the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really impressed. Forget what the future holds. Forget. Shout out to the Kings for being fun and for being watchable. Salute, dude.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And to be honest with you, you missed the fact that Keegan Murray didn't play, that Jake LaRavia did not play, that Malik Monk played 6 minutes and 13 seconds, I believe, is a total, and 6 minutes and 23 seconds, and had to leave the game with a sore calf or something. This was a gritty win. You know, I think when you look at how Jonas Valanciunas came in off the bench and just set the table, like the standard, so early in the game. He had 9 rebounds in his first, like, 3 minutes and 50 seconds on the court. Just absolutely dominant. The way that Devin Carter came in the third quarter and just went off for 7 points out of nowhere. And then, like, they're...
Yeah, 7-0 run.
Yeah, he was absolutely, just brought energy and did everything the Kings needed from him in that moment, especially with Malik Monk out of action. And then, watching Zach LaVine, man, I'm telling you, if he could just be this all the time, I would be excited to watch him on a nightly basis. If he can just be that guy. And it doesn't have to be 43 points. It doesn't have to be 37 points like he scored the night before. But what it has to be is somebody who is engaged and ready to play and ready to dominate his opponent. And when he, like, when he's on a tear, there aren't many people that can keep up with him. It's just absolutely remarkable to watch when he gets hot. And we saw it last night. What do you have? A personal, like, for the Kings, not overall in the game, but a 16-0 run where he scored 16 consecutive points. He was just on fire.
Yeah, between the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, and ridiculous. And every time you needed him to come up with a big shot, he did. He ended the third with a three-point shot. Then he comes out in the fourth, and boom, 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 hits three more. He's got 12 points in, like, a little over 2 minutes of play. And just absolutely electric to watch.
There's just not that many players who are that good at shooting.
Yeah.
Who can get on a legitimate heater like that. Like you saw, we watched Malik Beasley last night. Malik Beasley's an awesome shooter. But when Malik Beasley goes on a tear, he might go 5 of 9 for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like, wow, Malik Beasley really torched us last night. There are not that many players that are doing what Zach LaVine did in the second half, where he goes, what did he do? 6 of 9 from three in the second half. These are contested, step back, pull up, like, just the range of shots he's hitting and the level of difficulty. Like I said, forget, let's zoom in, you know, on just last night's game. There's just not that many players in the league that are doing that. And it is undeniably, forget what you feel about the Kings this year or how the season has gone, it is undeniably really freaking fun when he gets rolling like that. And he's done it two nights in a row.
Yeah.
In two games, two big games for the Kings. I don't, like I said, I have no complaints. That was just awesome, awesome basketball.
Yeah, he scored 30 points in the second half on 12 of 18 shooting and 6 of 9 from 3. I mean, just...
Like, this was it.
Yeah, he was a plus 20 in the second half. Keon Ellis scored 0 points to an 0 of 1 from the field. He was a plus 21. In the first half, in the second half. Yeah, just, it's absolutely remarkable. And, like, look, we have to point out again, this team was exhausted. This, like, their starting five of DeMar DeRozan, Trey Lyles, Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and Keon Ellis, all of them played more than 35 minutes again last night after playing more than 40 the night before in a different city, flying, doing all that stuff. So, again, the Kings don't have, we talked about this yesterday as one of the keys to the game. The Kings don't have any more, like, scheduled losses. They can't accept that term. And the other thing they can't do is say, this is a first game back after a long road trip. We might not be that great on Wednesday night. No. Like, you lost all of opportunity for that, you know, with what you did with Washington and what you did for the last 2 months of the season. So at this point, every single game matters, and to watch them step up and be this good in this moment, like, just a major, major hat tip for these guys.
Yeah, and I think what they're finding is the formula. If they're going to piece together some semblance of a run here, whether it's like, they finished the season 3-0 on the 3-0 stretch, would be what? On a 6-game winning streak, they won 2 playing games. Wow, look at that. They're going to the playoffs on an 8-game win streak. Like, let's just, okay. The formula is very, very clear after the last couple of nights. It is Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are your number one and number two offensive options without question.
Mm-hmm.
Domantas Sabonis having the ball in his hands needs to be a thing that happens, whether he's scoring or not, I think is dependent on the matchup. But LaVine and DeRozan have to be your one and two scorers. And then everybody else, whether it's Trey Lyles, Keon Ellis, Domantas Sabonis, Devin Carter, Jonas Valanciunas, Keegan Murray, or otherwise, if you're on the court with those guys, everything you're doing is on the fringes to support whatever that group of players is doing.
Yeah.
And that, whether that is ideal or optimal, does not matter. We're talking about this year. And the last two nights, it's been DeMar DeRozan, it's been Zach LaVine, and a supporting cast. Not, hey, let's try and get this guy involved. Let's get this guy more involved. Hey, this guy needs to shoot more. Like, nah, man. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan took 54 of the Kings' 91 shots last night.
That's wild.
It's insane. And does it work long term? No, it doesn't. Like we've seen it. But if you're, this is what they have. This is what the Kings have. This is the formula, what we saw in Cleveland and what we saw last night. This is it, dude. I don't care. Like, whatever that means for Keegan Murray, sorry, dude, you're going to have to stand in the corner and hit some spot up threes. Keon Ellis, you may or may not get shots up. Trey Lyles, you may or may not get shots up. Devin Carter, who knows? But, like, if they're going to play hard defensively, they're going to get some tough rebounds. They're going to bring physicality. They're going to do all those things on the defensive end that allow them to hold Detroit, who scored 72 in the first half, to 45 points in the second half while doing the right things to support Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan offensively. Okay. That's the version of this where they go on whatever version of a run this team can go on. And the quicker they figure that out and the quicker they do that night in and night out, the better off they'll be. Now, will they do that? Couldn't tell you, but I think they're finding something.
Yeah, there has to be some level of acceptance of this is who you are to finish the season. And to me, I mean, you can pepper in Malik Monk in there somewhere, but look, Malik has to play better. And I know last night he got injured, but before he got injured, he was not good at all. Like, he was doing the same exact thing that he had done in the previous games. The only real game that he's had that was solid is, I believe, the Charlotte game. And, of course, that was a homecoming game for him. That's where he was drafted and spent the first 4 years of his career. And for me, like, Malik has to figure this out, too, because, you know, I love the pick-and-roll game with Malik and Domas, and I. But that ingredient right now, like, it doesn't need to – they need to figure out a way to integrate him in a little bit, but I'm not overly concerned. And again, he's got to figure out how he fits in with this group, not just like expect to walk out there and be a guy who gets X amount of shots and scores X amount of points because he's Malik Monk. That's just not how this can go down the stretch here. And I do think that they figured something out. The fact that, again, like we're on this program, we've been hard on DeMar DeRozan. And it's because a lot of times things he does are out of the flow of the offense. And they don't feel right. They don't look right. It's uncomfortable. And so there are other nights where he's absolutely phenomenal. But in this specific situation, this is how you have to play. And for DeMar DeRozan at age 35 to go out there and play like a combined almost 80 minutes over two nights and just bring it, just be like so solid and deliver the big shots and the big moments and everything that he does, like super, super impressive. And again, a major, major hat tip to these guys for figuring it out on the road and down the stretch of a season where I think we were all just kind of writing this off as, okay, we got like six or seven games left and this is going to be a mess and like who knows how many they'll win. You know, once we got to that Wizards game and they blew that game, you're just like, I think everybody was so disenchanted with who this group was and who they're going to be moving forward and expecting massive changes. And all of a sudden, they've said, hey, look, we got a little fire left. We can make a little run here at the end of the season. We've got a little bit left in the tank, and maybe we can surprise somebody in the play-in tournament. You know, maybe
I want to make this.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I want to make this clear. This is not, for me, this is not, oh, my mind has changed on what they need to do this summer.
Oh, no.
Not like that's. But again, if we're zooming in to this year, if they go on this run that we just talked about where, hey, maybe they finish 3-0, maybe they get Denver and the Clippers and Phoenix to finish the year, maybe they win two playing games and they get to 8 wins in a row going into the playoffs. If you're doing that, now maybe things do change. Maybe Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis start to really get some good chemistry going. You start to go, okay, hey, maybe that's something we can work with a little bit down the stretch. That could impact it. But right now, I just want it to be clear. This is not, oh man, we're jumping ship and now all of a sudden we're rethinking what the Kings look like moving forward. No, but I also think, for me, I'm rethinking what they look like this year. Because when they lost to Washington, they looked like a team that went, we're done playing basketball now.
Yep.
Like, we're done with this year. And hey, man, they're probably going to lose to Cleveland. They're probably going to lose to Detroit. You're probably losing to Denver. You're probably losing to the Clippers. Like, oh, my God, you might fall out of the play-in. So for them to bounce back in this way is significant. And it's at the very least, it's fun. I had a good-ass time watching the Kings the last two games.
I agree.
The Charlotte game a little bit too, but that was a little different circumstance. I had a really good time watching the Kings the last couple of nights.
Yeah, because
and at this point of the year, like that's all I need. That's all I want.
It's the level of competitiveness, the fire, again, there's only a few things you can control on the court. You can't control whether the ball goes through the basket every time, but your energy and your effort you can control. And for me, what we've seen is a team that who really they gave themselves every reason to just cash it in and give up on this season, and all of a sudden they didn't. And they're showing a fire that I did not think that they had. And so, it's making things interesting.
No doubt. You know what else was interesting? My underdog lineup last night, because your boy went 3-for-3. I hope everybody is playing on Underdog, on the Underdog app, with their pick'em game. I hope everybody's playing along, because we're just dishing out winners right now. Last night I had Asar Thompson higher than 12.5 points. He finished with 15. Domantas Sabonis, I had him higher than 5.5 assists. He finished with 10. Mm-hmm. And then Zach LaVine, I had higher than 20.5 points. He finished with 43.
So he just
got over that 20.5 number. Salute to Zach LaVine. I love playing underdog, and I hope everybody plays along. Use promo code Kyle M when you sign up, KYLEM, and receive a special offer. I'm going to be doing baseball. I'm going to be doing basketball. They've got all your favorite teams, all your favorite leagues. And with the basketball playoffs coming up, the regular season winding down, there's tons of action. I'm on the Warriors Suns game tonight. Brandon Pajemski higher than 14.5 points. He's been on a tear lately. I'm going to ride that wave. Steph Curry higher than 24.5 points is the game the Warriors need. I think Steph's going to have a big one. Grayson Allen higher than 10.5 points. I think he might get that just in three pointers. He's going to get some open looks tonight. And then Jonathan Kuminga, I'm going higher than 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists off the bench for Jonathan Kuminga. That is my lineup for tonight on Underdog, and I hope you play along with me. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Again, that's KYLEM, KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. We got plenty more Kings coming up. We're taking a look around the West. We're taking a look at the A's. They're still winless at Sutter Health Park. Lots to get into in the next couple hours. I hope you stay with us here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil rocking with us. We're the Insider.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen, live from the home studio today. Joe Brazil pushing buttons on the ones and twos. Congrats to the University of Florida, your men's college basketball national champions. A thriller last night. They beat Houston 65-63. Houston's got to get a shot off, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what are we doing here? You've got to put a shot. My guy jumping and realizing he didn't want to shoot it and just dropping the ball and then trying to box people out while his teammates were like, hey, why did you just drop the basketball?
Yeah.
Really tough.
Just super
That's requiring tough. A level of basketball IQ to, in that spot, drop the ball and be like, one of my teammates will grab this and we'll get a good shot. That was tough.
Yeah. Super
tough to watch.
Super tough. I, you know, you feel bad because these are just college kids and mm-hmm. they've got such a, you know, like this is such an opportunity, but also it's just so intense. And for a young guy to make a mistake like that, just super, super tough. But what a great game. Super fun to watch.
Incredible game. My mother-in-law won the Jason Ross bracket. Which was cool. It was really cool for her. She's been doing brackets for forever. Like she's big into college basketball. And she calls my wife last night and she's like celebrating. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. She got like 55 of the 63 games, right?
Wow.
Yeah, just incredible. And so she's like celebrating. We're like, wow, that's so amazing. Like, congrats, like, blah, blah, blah. Because she also won a couple of the rounds. And then split another one of the rounds. So she did really well. And we're wrapping up this conversation. She goes, hang on, let me scroll down and find Kyle. Like, what? Hey.
Catching strays.
Out of nowhere. I'm genuinely happy for her. I love my in-laws. They're great. And so I'm like really, really excited. And then she's like, oh yeah, where's Kyle? I've got to keep scrolling. Hang on, I'm still scrolling. Because there's, what, 266 people, I think, in this bracket tournament?
I hope she didn't hurt her thumb scrolling down.
Bro, I finished 233rd out of 266.
Well, where did I finish? I don't think it's any better. Yeah.
Where are you? Are you still scrolling?
Oh, I'm 249.
Come on! Yeah. Big college basketball guys, the insiders.
Oh, I hate to tell you this, too. Our Odyssey pool, shout out to Danielle, who won the Odyssey pool.
Danielle won.
Of course she did.
Yeah. We're going to take JC out of the thing because he didn't fill out his entire bracket, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is not good. So Danielle won first. Courtney got second. Finishing out of realistically 11 people.
Yeah.
Number 9, Kyle Madsen with 89 points.
Yeah, congratulations.
Number 10, James Hamm with 86 points.
Congratulations.
Number 11, Joe Brazil with 71 points.
Let's go.
Come on, boys. Oh, that's big time.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so good.
We were not good.
I'm not a college basketball guy.
Yeah, me neither.
It was my first time.
I'm guessing more than most people.
Yeah, no, it was my first time, and I kind of was going off of you guys. And then, like, I guess it just snowballed. I don't know.
Well, you were, like, cheating off us.
No, I wasn't cheating off of you guys, but I was definitely like, okay, I mean, kind of feeling it out, like, you know.
All right.
Clearly, we all... drop the ball.
Because you'd never done a bracket before, right, Joe?
That was my first bracket, and I did great. First bracket.
Yeah, you finished in 11th. That's good work. That's
what I tell people, BMX, I finished second place. I don't tell them that there was only two people, so kind of the same vibe.
Perfect.
I did, in the Kenny bracket, the D-Lo and KC bracket, I did come in 19th place in that. And that's out of a lot of people. So I did there.
Funny.
Yeah. I scored 124 points in that bracket. So, yeah.
Nice.
Not great, but also acceptable. I'll take it.
All right. Very good. In the spirit of that, we're going to give you a chance to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get via this giveaway, or if you work here. This is courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. We have a couple of keywords we're going to give you today. So we'll give you two chances to enter today, and we pick a winner on Friday. So your first chance to enter is you go to ESPN1320.com, and you go to the Jiffy Lube contest page, front and center. You can't miss it. And you're going to enter the code word CONFUSED, because that was the word for the Kings win against the Cavaliers. Because they are a confusing team. So confused, because we are confused about the Kings, CONFUSED. Confused? Enter that on the Jiffy Lube contest page at ESPN1320.com and you'll be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive insider's hoodie courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. Confused? We'll have a second word for you coming up in a little bit. Shifting gears, this is the Insiders, James Han, Kyle Madsen, and Joe Brazil, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I think all Kings fans are Warriors fans tonight.
Oh? That's unusual.
Because I believe if my math is correct, if Golden State beats the Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Suns are eliminated from play-in contention and the Sacramento Kings officially clinch a play-in berth.
Oh, playoff.
I believe that to be the case.
Play-in contention or catching the Kings?
Whoa! Michael Malone got fired?
No.
Are we getting chatty housed?
No.
Are we getting chatty housed?
From Shams.
Shams? What?
Shams.
What in the world? David Adelman.
Ain't no way. No way.
Yeah, breaking news. The Denver Nuggets have fired, this per Shams Charania, have fired Michael Malone. David Adelman, the son of Rick Adelman, will take over. Absolutely stunning.
Man, what?
What in the world just happened? In a season filled with these like crazy things, I mean, like, look, Denver's lost four in a row, but the playoffs start. They've got three games left in the season.
This is it's actually Shams.
Yeah, that's not a fake account.
That's a real tweet.
It's a real tweet because I have him in a separate category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my! What in the world is going on with this?
This is absolutely crazy.
Why are we in this space now where people are firing their coaches right before the playoffs?
I've never seen anything like this. The first time it happened was just as stunning with Taylor Jenkins. But at least that
Taylor
one,
Jenkins. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's like, hey, well, that guy's never won anything. Like Michael Malone is. I mean, he's been there for what? 8 years? 9 years? Well, he's been there. Oh, no, this is either 9 or 10 seasons as a head coach of the Denver Nuggets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is his 11th season. Oh, no. 10th season in Denver as a head coach.
That's so wild.
That is absolutely incredible. He's 44-36 in the playoffs, 510-394 as a head coach, 471-327 with a 590 win percentage as a head coach of the Denver Nuggets. I don't understand that at all. That just derailed us.
This is one of those ones where with Taylor Jenkins, you and I said, because that happened right before our show, we're like, something else is going on here. Something behind the scenes, whether it's an off court thing or there's some like explosive issues that's going to come out. And then I don't think we ever talked about how quickly Sam Amick had the postmortem up on that. It was like 4 hours later.
On Taylor Jenkins?
Yeah, on Taylor Jenkins. It's ridiculous. But it was just all coaching based. Like it was fully them going, hey, we think we're salvaging our season. The best chance to do that is firing Taylor Jenkins with 9 games to go.
With
Michael Malone, who's had so much success there. They're 47-32. They're a game and a half out of the 3 seed. Now, granted, they're a half game up on the 8 seed, but I can't fathom that this is all basketball related.
Okay.
That doesn't compute to me.
It's got to be. Okay. So, like, I covered Michael Malone here for a season and a half. Michael is, he can grate on people. Like, he is very intense, very matter of fact, very much his way or the highway. But, and that goes from the top down. Like, it doesn't matter who he's talking to. Like, him and Pete D'Alessandro hadn't spoken for, like, 6 weeks when he was terminated. Mm-hmm. They stopped talking. And that was a problem. And, you know, I going through that era, I know that Michael can be prickly. He can be difficult. But he's also an exceptional coach who had this team, like, mm-hmm. going the right way. He's the all-time leader in wins in the Denver Nuggets history as far as head coaches. Like, so for this is, I believe that that's the case. That's what I just saw. And for him to, you know, lose his job, like, this late in the season doesn't make any sense. Now, I also, there are people in the chat, oh, he would never come back to Sacramento. I don't know. I think there's a possibility he would come back to Sacramento. He does hold a grudge against. No. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, when they fired him and then they put Tyrone Corbin in place, and Tyrone Corbin mm-hmm. had the season completely spin out, went with 7-21. There was a point during mm-hmm. that spin out where the team is just, like, failing. They're just like, oh no, this thing is, like, going off the deep end, right? Where Michael mm-hmm. Malone was very clear that he would come back. Like, he would have come back in the season he got fired. He said, if they want to give me the job back, I would come back. I love those players. That's my team. I want to be back, and I would love to sit there and lead this team, back, you know, get them out of whatever's happening there and get them on the right sure. path. So, but over the last 10 years, he's taken a shot at Vivek Ranadive at almost every single opportunity that he's had.
He did it the day Mike Brown got fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The no class, no... I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably. He said a thing about the Kings.
People made t-shirts of that.
Yeah, people in the chat, they are quoting it consistently now. So, Denver's lost 4 in a row. They lost in double overtime to the Timberwolves. They lost to the Spurs. They lost to Golden State, and then they lost to the Pacers. Now they have 3 games left. They're 47-32. They've gone 6-10 in their last 16 games. I just don't. I get if Mike Brown started to wear on people, if they think that they're not going to win a title this year because he's not making the necessary adjustments, whatever it is. Okay. But 3 games left? There's just no way. Like, we've seen it with Memphis. Memphis fired Taylor Jenkins, and there was not this quick bounce of, like, oh, hey, look, new coach.
Yeah.
The Kings won 7 in a row after firing their coach. And that was like, holy smokes. Like, oh my God, this is unheard of. So now you get Denver, who's already lost 4 in a row. They're firing their coach. Really good chance for the Kings to get win number 4 in a row here.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get Memphis and Houston to close the season, and they go into either the play or into the playoffs. I don't get the timing here at all. Unless Nikola Jokic, who's been tearing it up to no avail, unless he went into the front office and was like, I'm not playing another game for this guy.
Yeah, but they've always had a good relationship. I mean, look at the relationship that Michael Malone had with DeMarcus Cousins. And it wasn't just Cousins. All of the players loved Michael Malone in Sacramento. There might have been a player or two who had an issue, but that's not the case with so many other coaches that I've covered here in Sacramento. I mean, there were mm-hmm. like internal strife between, you know, guys like Dave Yeager and Omri Caspi. Like, they could not get along at all. And there was even a point, like, I've talked about this, where, like, we went in the locker room and on the board, you know, the starters are listed for the night. Omri Caspi hadn't played in like 7 games or 9 games, something like that. And he's listed in the starting lineup. And so it was like, oh, I asked Omri, are you playing tonight? He's like, I don't know. It says I'm on the starting lineup. Did not play. DMP CD. That night. Huh? Yeah. After being listed as one of the starters on the whiteboard in the locker room prior to the game. Like, there was bad blood. So I don't, like, players have never, that I've ever heard of, had problems with Michael Malone. Now, front office, yeah, like, sure, like, but when you beg a front office to go get you a point guard because Ray McCallum is playing 47 minutes a night and you don't have a second point guard and he's a second round draft pick playing 47 minutes a night, and the response is for the front office to go out and sign Royce White to a 10-day contract, then like I always understood Michael Malone's beef like with the front office. But
sure,
this to me is one of those weird things that I don't think I can't imagine what we're going to hear after this is wild. And if they're in Sacramento right now and Michael Malone is in Sacramento waiting to play the Kings tomorrow and is getting fired like while he's here, that's just a whole nother layer to this thing.
And they fired their GM apparently.
Wow. Calvin Booth is out as well. Wow.
Do they know the playoffs are starting?
This is a bloodletting.
Do they
not
care?
What in the
what's that?
What?
Wow. Yeah, Shams. Full clean out. The Denver Nuggets are also firing manager Calvin Booth. Sources tell ESPN. Michael Malone and Booth both out today. I get the GM. Like, because the GM's not doing anything right now. Except maybe preparing for the draft.
Yeah.
So you may want to clean out your front office ASAP. So like I get that aspect of it. The Michael Malone part of this doesn't make sense, man. Unless they're just fully disenchanted and they think they have a better chance to win with the interim head coach, they're punting on the season ostensibly. That's crazy.
This is crazy. I can't believe that this thing just spun out of control like this. Huh. All right. Well, I guess.
Oh, well. Kings Nuggets tomorrow.
Kings Nuggets. We'll have you covered here tomorrow. Like, what a disaster.
Yeah, man. I will be refreshing Sam Amick's timeline for the full breakdown of what's going on here. Because, again, maybe it's just basketball, but I can't fathom that with three games left in the regular season, firing the head coach is all basketball reasons.
It's got to be.
There's got to be something more.
Yeah, this is stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Ugh. All right.
All right.
Well, we'll take a look. I started talking about the Suns, and if they lose tonight, the Kings clinching a play-in spot, but we'll do that later. And Professor Oak on Twitter, big Kings fan, great Kings follow on Twitter, brought up what this season would look like without the play-in tournament.
Oh no.
And I want to dig further into that because I think it's really, really interesting. We'll do that next here on the Insiders. That's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
For Nuggets, in case you missed it, that was according to ESPN Shams Charania. And then they also fired Calvin Booth, their general manager. So Denver cleaning house with three games to go in the regular season.
I guess, you know, it's like you might as well get started early. I don't know.
I suppose.
If you expect your season to, I mean, you got three games left and you might fall to eight because of this. I don't know. Maybe they have their draft pick and they're like, hey, we'd rather be eight. I don't know. This is tough.
It doesn't make any sense to me, man. Hopefully we'll get some more info here that makes this make a little more sense. But like I said, the firing, if they were just like, okay, the Michael Malone thing has run its course, we're done with this. Cool. Okay. Like I got it. They probably fell short of whatever expectation they had this year. The Calvin Booth stuff. I don't know. I'm not super intimately familiar with Denver's ownership structure, but I don't know what kind of handcuffs were placed on him in terms of what he could and couldn't do to retain players. But that team's just kind of progressively gotten worse roster wise since winning the title. So it's like, okay, this all kind of makes sense. Like if the timing is what's weird,
mm-hmm.
I don't mind firing Michael Malone. I just have questions about why you're doing this with three games to go in the regular season. And you have a chance to be the three seed in the West. That doesn't compute to me, man.
Yeah, unless you really have some sort of, like, again, this isn't even fair to David Adelman. It's not. Like, what exactly is he supposed to do in this situation? Like, what kind of success can he... I mean, if he runs a table, I guess he gets a job. But I just don't know. Like again, David Adelman has been an assistant for a long time. He's an up-and-coming guy. He's a guy that, again, you know, Michael Malone has sat there and promoted, like, shamelessly every time we've seen him about how David Adelman should get a look, another look in the league, or a look in the league as a head coach.
And the Nuggets said, shot. Bet.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Sean Cunningham out there being a troll. Sean Cunningham just tweeted, Michael Malone has always kept a 916 phone number with a little monocle.
Winky face?
No, oh, it's monocle. The monocle, like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
Anyway.
Hell yeah, Sean. Sean, come spit your takes on the insiders. No, but I was mentioning this earlier as we shift gears back to toward the direction of the Sacramento Kings on the insiders. James Hammond comments and Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. Joe Brazil spinning on the ones and twos. If the Golden State Warriors beat the Phoenix Suns tonight, the Suns will be out of play-in contention, I believe.
I don't. If they lose tonight, I don't think
excuse
that they
me,
can.
Excuse me. They can't pass the Kings, so the Kings would clinch a play-in spot with a Suns loss tonight.
Yeah,
it would be their 44th loss.
Yeah.
So
they've got.
It could all happen tonight, guys.
They've got four games left. The Kings have three games left. The Kings are up three in the loss column, so the Kings would have to lose out. Phoenix would have to win out completely.
No, bro. Yeah, starting tonight. If the Suns lose tonight, it's over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Kings are in the play-in.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Yeah. I was just saying that if the Suns win out and the Kings lose out, the Suns could still catch them. And, you know, but then tonight we'll have to see what happens.
Man, the Kings losing out felt like a real possibility a little bit ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like, what are you getting from Denver tomorrow? Who's fired their coach?
Yeah, this
is... you're getting the best version of the Denver Nuggets tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't think so either. What a strange turn of events.
How odd.
Yeah,
I don't know. Not shedding a tear for the Nuggets. They've had a really nice run.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be weird if the Kings, you know, because we always usually talk about, like, where a team has... like the opportunity is like due to injury, right? So if we're looking at, let's say it's the Kings and Dallas in the first play-in game, right? And we're all thinking, okay, well, Dallas, they can beat Dallas, but a lot of it is because Dallas doesn't have Kyrie and that Dallas made the Luka trade and like all this stuff. Dallas could still snake bite the Kings for sure. But then if you make it to the second play-in game, right? And somehow it's the Grizzlies. Like, the Grizzlies aren't dealing with a major injury, but the Grizzlies just fired their head coach and are in disarray, right? So you're thinking, oh, that could be, hey, you could actually figure this out and make it through because of... I've never seen a scenario late in a season where literally three games left, we're looking at the Kings' chances just increased because a coach got fired. And their chances of making it to the actual playoffs is increased because another coach got fired on a different team. And it's possible that Denver falls to 8, and it's Denver and Memphis, and one of those two teams that just fired their coaches is a team that the Kings would play in the second play-in game, and you might be able to skirt into the playoffs because a team fired their head coach. Just bizarre. Absolutely crazy.
The West is insane.
It is.
4-8 separated by half a game.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm just what just happened with Denver? That is just like stunning. Stunning.
Remember how we spent so much time yesterday talking about the Kings could make the play-in and keep their pick?
Yeah, that's over.
I've punted that entirely.
Yeah, it's pretty much like over.
If some collapse happens and by the end of the year we have to watch the lottery to make sure the Kings keep their pick or whatever, okay. But I'm just punting that whole idea now. And now I'm fully focused on the Mavericks.
Yeah,
because I think hosting it, you want to host that play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's going to be a really, really big deal, especially for whatever version of the Mavericks you're going to get. I think being at home would be a pretty significant thing. So that's what I'm keeping a close eye on down the stretch. But even that, the Mavericks would have to win out, and the Kings would need to lose 2 out of 3.
Okay. And I don't think either one. I don't think either one of those things are happening. I don't think Dallas will win out. And I forget what Dallas's schedule is down the stretch, but I don't think it's great. Here we go. I have Dallas's schedule in 3, 2, 1.
Lakers, Raptors, Grizzlies.
Yeah, Lakers. Okay, so and the Grizzlies are going to be fighting it out for a playoff spot for season.
Grizzlies and Lakers are both going to be playing.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get the full that, you know what? Like we talked about this earlier, like, hey, what would happen if the play-in, like you're going to bring up if there was no play-in, how bad would the Kings look? Right. But the fact
that's an angle.
Yeah. But there is a point that the play-in has made this, like, it's not just the fight for 7, 8, 9, 10. It's the fight to avoid the 7. That has become as equally important as who's going to make the bottom of the play-in tournament. Like, again, the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, the Kings, the Mavericks, that's the four teams that are 7 through 10 right now. But the Timberwolves are tied with the Warriors and the Clippers for the 5 seed. So, like, this battle for who avoids the play-in tournament, because nobody wants to go play in the play-in tournament. If you can avoid it from up above, you don't want to fall down into the play-in tournament.
Right. And that's what, so again, I saw this Professor Oak on Twitter, great, great Kings Twitter follow, posted about this today. If you take out the play-in tournament aspect of this, where it's just the top 8 seeds make the playoffs, there's no race for the 8 seed. It's over. We have our 8 playoff teams. And now we're just talking seeding and matchups and who wants to play who, and do you lose these games on purpose so you get a more favorable matchup? Like, that's not nearly as fun of a discussion as, hey, you have all these teams trying to avoid the play-in, and now you've got 2 teams that are in this race firing their coach with 9 and 3 games left. It's just insane.
Yeah.
The end of this season would be so boring if we didn't have the play-in to watch and the play-in to follow. And if the kid the Kings playoff chances would have been over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Conversation would be all draft related, and these last games would be just, let's play out the string.
Yeah, well, that
shout out to the play-in, man.
It would have been for the Kings if you were out of the playoffs. It would have been, can you lose as many games as possible so you're in line to keep your draft pick.
Yeah,
and now that's not the discussion. The discussion is a play-in, and the discussion is trying to get to the playoffs. Still, I just think out of nowhere, there's a pathway. There's a pathway that wasn't there before, and maybe the Denver Nuggets respond tonight, but I could also see a negative response. Like, as somebody who has covered multiple teams that have fired their head coach mid-season. Like, sometimes you win a game right afterwards, sometimes you win 2, but there's not a bounce that you're going to get to. Like, by the time they figure out what just happened, this team could be the 8 seed. And in line to play against Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round of the playoffs if somehow they get through the play-in.
I would be more, I don't know how I want to say this, I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Nuggets went 0-3 to close the year. At Sacramento, home Grizzlies, at Houston. Like, that wouldn't shock me if they went 0-3.
No, not at all. Oof.
Man.
This is wild.
What a wild-ass turn of events.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well.
I don't get it, dude.
Nope.
I don't. Say what you want about the Kings and Mike Brown and how they did it or whatever. Like, at least they did it at a normal time of the year. At least they did it at a part of the season where you could at least, like, potentially salvage something.
Yeah.
You're not figuring it out with 3 games to go.
This is crazy.
That's insane.
Even we're talking about just sort of this race for the Grizzlies. You know, again, they're tied right now with everybody else, right? They've got the Hornets, which is, of course, a win. But then they've got the Timberwolves. They've got Denver. They've got Dallas. I don't know if Dallas is going to be playing for anything on the last day of the season. It's really going to depend on what the Kings do. Because, of course, the Kings have a nice, you know, well, they've got a lead over the Mavericks at this point. So there's a possibility that they won't be playing for much. But Dallas has to finish a game above the Kings because Kings have the tiebreaker. So, yeah, it's a tough finish here for the Mavericks as well.
All signs point to the Kings hosting their play-in game, the first one. Now, who the hell knows with this team, but that's the direction things are trending. Just keep it on the keep it on the tracks.
Yeah, just don't let everybody don't let anything careen off the tracks at this point. Yeah,
that's all we need. All right, we'll get back into the Kings' win last night. The A's still winless at Sutter Health Park, and the NFL draft is like 2 weeks away, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well coming up. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.